Okay, so we read the Rosh Cirilio on the Mishnah. We saw that consistently on the Mishnah, the Rosh Cirilio seems to believe, conceptually parallel, if not identical to the Rambam, but at least parallel, that the problem with Schora is the way you approach, the way you have a perspective on it. Therefore, to review, right, he pulled a few interesting moves. First of all, he said that
the first cases are related.
Right, he said the first three cases are different than the latter cases, right? The ones that are connected by a derivative of Achila rather than the others, which are from the negative. Yeah. But then he said, nevertheless, the reason they're all in the Mishnah is because Schora is all the same, right? Schora conceptually is the same. It's about treating things as merchandise, treating it as business. And for him, that explains everything, right? That explains why that happens upon you, that it's okay, right? That explains why there can be an equivalence between selling and producing dyed material with Shemitah produce. Because at the end of the day, it's not about buying, it's not about selling, right, per se. It's about your perspective, it's about the way you relate to it, the way you present it. I mean, if that's the case, and I suggested that I don't think I could have said it in one of two ways, right? One is that it's a problem to treat this as a commodity, treat it as the substance of your business. The other would be it's a problem to treat it as non-hefker. My tendency is to think that the Rosh Cirilio thinks the first formulation, not the second, because while Shemitah has a problem of ownership, the others don't, right? Everything else there is not hefker, right? Truma is not hefker. It just goes to the Kohanim, right? Non-kosher food is not hefker, right? And that's why I tend to not think that if he's going to equate all of them, which he seems to, I think that's not the way I would equate them. I would equate them, the first formulation of something like it's a problem to treat it as a commodity or as the material of your business or something like that. I don't know.
With non-kosher animals, that you're getting them off of them, you're not allowed to do that?
So he doesn't seem to think that, right? Right, remember, the Yerushalmi introduced the line of Hana, but until now in the Mishnah he mentioned nothing about Hana and nothing about Gzeira. Right? Remember we saw the Yerushalmi in the context of non-kosher food had two formulations, and we had to figure out how they were related, right? The first one was Isra Hana'ah, right? And the second one was Xera that it might cause people to eat it, which is why it's mutter with things that are not used for food, yes? So far, the Rosh Cirilio has introduced neither of those into the conversation about Shemitah or about those, right?
If it's Isra Hana'ah, it shouldn't make a difference whether...
Correct, but he hasn't introduced it, so why are you asking me about that? Right? I said, this is why, right, you need the models in place, but then you need to look and see what actually works, right? So now if you look at the Rosh Cirilio, let's see what he does with it, right? You read it, so what does he do with it, right? So let's, 1 second, let me get to the right line. Sorry, another duff. Yala. So... So there we go. So nun hey, I'm at bet, right? So what does the Rosh Cirilio say? So first on the case of Tzaba, right? So what does he say? So right, first the Gemara asked about Tovat Ano. So what does he say there? Bechina. Klomar shlo ayanotin lo ela devar mu'at. The ain kan sora. Mao litzboa bitovarana. Had Saba wrote to litzboa la acher bishiltovarana. Shasaloka gon cheatin lo miser. Shadlo miser. Shayatseva levi. Cholote oto miser la acher vinotanlo. So he, right, so as we said, there are two ways of understanding tovarana. Right? One way of understanding tovarana is that I do something for you and I expect one day that you will owe me something, but there's no actual transfer of anything.
Or is it something so little?
Right, or there's something symbolic. So which one does he take?
The symbolic one.
Right, the symbolic one. But you are getting something. And that's why the Gemara asks. Right, so according to the Rosh Cirilio, what's the question? Right, it makes a lot of sense in his framework. If he said, on the one hand, money is transferring hands, so maybe you're treating it as Schora. On the other hand, if it's so insignificant, maybe you're not really relating to it. It's just symbolic, right? That makes a lot of sense from his perspective because since he says it's about your perspective, it's possible that it could be a case where you make money and you're still not relating to it as business,
yeah.
Right? And that's the Rosh really is quite consistent, and that's why he thinks it's a question. Okay, good. Then moving on to the sugya of schora with not kosher food, which, as we said, the Gemara introduces two models. In Isser Hana'ah, which we said is problematic because there is no Isser Hana'ah, right? So maybe it's a circumscribed Isser Hana'ah, or Gzeira that you might lead to be led to eat it, which is why it's not a problem if it's not the type of thing that's used for food. And then we said we have to figure out how they work together. So we said, in the Yerushalmi, there are two things we need to figure out. One is, how do those two fit together? Right? And the second is, does it shed light on Shviat? Or is it simply, once we're talking about non-kosher food, do we talk about this as well? Now, what would you expect before you actually get into the Rosh Elio? If based on what you knew about the Rosh Elio from the Mishnah, what would you guess? Right? Based on, exactly. I would have guessed that, right? That if you had the Rosh Elio on the Mishnah, where he says that all of these are linked together, because Schora means the same thing, whether they're derived from a positive of a bitul of achila or from a negative, either way, in the end of the day, Schora is the same. It's that all these things are a problem of a certain type of perspective. So I would expect that he would come up with some way of connecting Schora, all seven cases, right? All the cases of the Mishnah, and somehow read it into two principles that neither work together nor work with his principle, right? Somehow, that's what I would expect. Oh, you weren't here last week. It's a machloket. It's a machloket. But we argued last week is that if you think that Schora is Asur because it's a Gzeira, right? So it's probably on the seller, right? That you are going to enable the buyer to misuse it. So the seller has the Isur Schora, the buyer has whatever problem he has when he misuses it, but the buying is not the problem, right? If you think that it's because Schora is Asur because it connects back to the harvesting, so obviously it's only on the seller, not the buyer, because, but if it's because of business intrinsically, right, that Schora is Asur because you're not allowed to do business, you're not allowed to treat it as a commodity, then it could be that the Lokech is part of it also.
So if it's Asur to sell it, then does that also make it Asur to buy it?
No, that's what I just said, that if it's intrinsically Asur, rather than as a Gzeira, or as an expression of the Asur of Kotzer, then potentially yes. Not necessarily, right, because you could always argue, as some of the, right, as the Nodeb Yehuda does, in many circumstances, just because he sells it and you buy it doesn't mean you're relating it to the same way, right? Rami Levi and Supersol and whatever are not relating to the fruit they're selling the same way you are. They're relating it to their business. You're relating to it as lunch.
They're like,
meaning, but also they're selling it, right? You are just buying lunch, right? It's not his lunch. It's his money. Right? It's his money-making machine, right? And therefore, the Nodeb Yehuda says it's very possible to say that if it's about perspective, right, the buyer and the seller don't necessarily have the same perspective, and therefore don't necessarily violate the same. On the other hand, you might say, no, one, if you are necessary by definition to this transaction, then, right, and that's why within that model, there's a machloket. Okay, so let's see how the Rosh Elio deals with all of this. Okay, so then he says, Hachi garsinan, sheketz im lochem, matam alomer v'sheketz yelochem. Right? So, by not kosher food, again, the first formulation of the Yerushalmi is, it is sheketz to you, it is disgusting. Right? Dahachi ktive kroy. That's what the Pasuk says. Uvisvarim gadiv tmehim im lochem. Other girsot don't say sheketz, they say tamei. Umatam alomer tmehim yelochem. V'toot sofer. He says that's just wrong. Okay? Fine. Skip to the next one. The Echad Isser Hanoya, right? So now, the first formulation of Yerushalmi is that Isser Schora is some sort of circumscribed, watered-down Isser Hanoya, but that's what it is, right? That's the simple pshat. Yes? Agreed? The simple pshat is that Isser Schora is some sort of derivative Isser Hanoya. Even though there is no Isser Hanoya, it's some sort of diluted Isser Hanoya. Now, this is a problem because, again, what's the problem for the Rosh Elio? Yeah, he says that's not what Schor is about, right? So then what does he do with this line? Klomar, harvacha, it's very simple. He says, hana'ah, what do they mean? Profit, they mean? So what is he, how does he solve all the problems? Words, who cares about words? Words, it says that it's asur b'hana'ah, by benefit, we don't mean benefit. We mean it's usher b'harvacha. It's usher to profit. Just erase the word. You mean the words don't fit with my conceptual model? Well, why are you bothering me? Just erase.
Matter in context,
Yes, words hardly matter in context. And in this context, I mean, you know, the fact that 90% of people would understand the word hana'a to mean hana'a? Okay. It's not what the word hana'a means, right? Hana'a doesn't mean hana'a, it means harvacha. Well, what words don't...
Okay. You heard from him.
Chaval, what are you thinking? Words don't matter, right? No, I have a Lumdish formulation. Let's run with it. Ignore whatever words contradict it. That's what he does. He says, what? Yes, what do you, I don't know, I don't see the problem. I don't understand. What's the problem? I don't understand. You said words? Those words mean nothing. Those words mean nothing. Don't bother me. The words are meaningless. Right?
It's the idea.
Again, I love the Rosh Cirilio. I love the Rosh Cirilio. Maybe it was. See, David, you see. The argument we had before Shir, it was Mina Shomayim. It was Ashkacha Pratis. It was, do words matter? And the Rosh Cirilio says, nah. Right? They don't.
There you go. Oh,
right? When you have a conceptual hammer, everything looks like a nail. Right? It's not. Okay, who cares? He says, Klomar Harvacha. And then he says, how do you know? De'ilu hana'a. Tnan ve'adin sayada chaya ofot v'dagim. Now, what's his proof? Now, he has a very good proof. He's not just saying that words don't matter. Why is he saying that it can't really mean hana'a? Because you're allowed to sell them. You're just not allowed to make that your entire... Everyone agrees. The Mishnah says that what are you allowed to do? If you're a fisherman and you happen to have some catfish caught in your salmon, you're allowed to sell it. So he says if it really meant a classic Isra Na'a, that would be impossible. So we suggested that maybe it means some sort of diluted or circumscribed Hana'a. But he just says, listen, that's too fancy. Right? That's too fancy. Hana'a can't mean Hana'a if you're allowed to get Hana'a. I mean, right? I mean, it just can't. If it was Asr Bana, you wouldn't be allowed to sell it ever. But you are allowed to sell it, which means it's not Hana. So it must be something else. And therefore he says, what does Hana mean here?
Harvacha.
Right, that's what he says. Umifarish time of a Torah Kohanim. Right? And he says, the reason in the Torah Kohanim, Umaiti love a parakol shah, which is brought in the Gemara in Psachim, midichtiv lochem shalochem yehe. Right, it says it's yours. Right, the Gemara, the way now he conflates the Bavli, and he says the Bavli and Tarat Kohanim say that why do we have this compromise? Because on the one hand, the pasuk says lochem, which implies you're allowed to own it, you're allowed to use it. On the other hand, it says tmeim leim lochem or sheketz, which implies a limitation. Right? Uperish Rashi mutter lechazar acharem kedei laharviach b'hem. And you might have thought, what does the Gemara mean when it says you're allowed to do it lechatchila? Is that you're allowed to pursue this as a profession. And therefore, the Rosh Cirilio says it's very simple. Right, guys? So what does the Rosh Cirilio do? He says, I have a principle in the Mishnah, which is that he thinks the Isser is treating it as a commodity. It's about your perspective. And then with that, he just looks at the Gemara and he says, the Gemara has a few contradictions inherent. Right? One is that it calls it an Isser Hana'a, but it's not Asur B'Hana'a based on the Mishnah itself. Therefore, he says, once I know that it doesn't literally mean Hana'a, then I'm free for it to mean what I said it means. Right? And then he says, okay, so he continues. Kol davar shi'isru midivrayem. Right, all the examples, the Isur and the Isur Hana'a, because these are not Asur B'Hana'a in the way he just said. Fine, next one. We only forbid the things that are, right, for Achila. Okay? Let's just skip down. We'll skip around a little bit here. Okay, right, so now according to him, right? How is he going to deal with the second line, which is, why is it that it's only usher for things that are going to be used for food? He doesn't really explain, but whatever. I mean, he says that's the only time there's an isser schara. I mean, okay.
That's when you're related to
it. Right, I mean, meaning if I'm relating to it, right, or maybe more precisely, it's the only time I'm relating to isser as a commodity. Right? If I'm not relating it to it as a davar isser, It is, but I'm not relating to that way. Why? Because I'm selling the camel as a beast of burden. So now I'm not relating it to it as davar iser. So, right, meaning it's about, I think what he's going to tell you is that it's about perspective. Right, if it's about perspective, then if I'm selling a camel as food, then I'm relating to non-kosher food as a commodity, and that's a problem. But if I'm relating to the camel as a beast of burden, then if it's all about how I relate to it, am I relating to anything usser in a problematic way? No, I'm relating to the mutter aspects of the camel, and therefore it's permitted, right? And I think that the Rosh really, oh, that's how he's going to take the whole sugya. Yep, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Isn't there an issue with the fact that it says in the last one, more detail? As in, like, it's not a question of what you had it for on, it's what you, like, initially...
Right, so that's where he starts to get into derabbanans and, right, what are we gozer on? Right, he does seem to have a certain sort of level on top of that is once we offer it, right, we set certain, right, we set certain low plugs, right? And therefore, we can't just judge every case. We do have to sort of look around at what's normal, right? He does seem to have a little bit of that mixed in, which is fair.
Wait, this still doesn't fit in with Shvi'as, though.
No, so according to him, it's fine. Because according to him, that's exactly what he thinks Shvi'at is. Shvi'at is about perspective. It's, am I treating it as a commodity? Oh, meaning he just says that this whole category only applies with Daraisa, but Darabanan, there's no problem. Meaning, remember, something is Darabanan, Chazal can choose the contours. He says that whatever Skara is, it's only Usher for things that are Usher. Right, their Isser is biblical, but it's rabbinic. The rabbis just didn't decree it. No, but Shviat, I mean, Shviat, the category is Daraisa, right, as opposed to chicken and milk, which is Darabana. Correct. Meaning, any. Or, so is it the Isser eating it or the Isser. Right, you're going to have to fudge it a little bit. You're right. Right, meaning the other cases are Isra Achila. These are, Shviat is not really Isra Achila. It's Aser Be, whatever. Okay, you're going to have to fudge a little. I agree. Okay. So now, now we get to the right most substantive case. And that is, with the Rosh Eliyahu's perspective, what does he now need to explain? The why five partners are problematic. But you can have, right, the three cases. The partners, which is Usher. The father-son, which is Mutter. And the brothers, which is Mutter, right? That's what he needs to explain. Okay? So what does he do? So halfway down the first column. Tani, lo yu chamisha melaktin yerek ve'echad mocher. You can't have five partners pick and one sell. Klomar, af al gav dezem elakid vilezem ocher shari, even though under normal circumstances, if one person picks and one person sells, it's permitted. Pe'amim dahanami aser, sometimes it's not permitted. Why? Kagon shisha shutfin, like when you have six partners, hachamisha melakdin, five are picking, ve'echad mocher aser. Now, what do you think the next one he's going to say? Right? Now, how is he going to explain it? Lishitato.
Then you relate to it as...
Yeah, he says, either, he says, Dechevan, Dekol Kach Melakten, Bishutafut, since so many people are picking together, Mechzikim Gavin Lekach, Umid Megaya Milsa. It looks like this is their intent, and it looks wrong, and it's just wrong. Now, Now, what I'm not sure with him is, does he say Mechzi, it's wrong, and therefore it's Usser, because that means that contextually it's defined as a business deal, right? Right, we've had this problem before, right? Is Mechzi just Marat Ayin? Right, meaning people will look at it wrong, or the fact that people look at it wrong changes the context, right? I'm not sure which one he means, because he could mean either, right? Yeah. He could say, listen, just because partners are involved doesn't mean we're relating to it as necessarily relating to it as business, right? It could just be like, we do everything together,
that's
right?
That's a completely different reason. There's no point to putting it here.
So again... So I don't know which one he means. Kobe says he must mean the more fundamental, because that means that this is related conceptually to everything we've seen. It could be that it's a gzera upon that. I'm not 100% sure.
It could be an afkamina between like how many people it is that if you're reading Mechzi as...
Oh, very good. Very good. So as we will see, Right, the Rosh Aurelio himself doesn't make this point explicit, but some of the other Mefarshim say that five is specific, right? That five is dafka, right? Because if it's about perception, then yes, the actual number. It's not just a random example.
It's similar to it, and you've been two people.
Correct, exactly, 100%. Right, meaning if you, and I think that's going to be the nafkamina, as you'll see that in some of the Mefarshim, right, they are going to say, no, five means five, right? And five, that makes sense if there's, going back to my machloket with David, right? If certain things are, we do have to care about societal definition. So it could be, listen, you define a partnership at three, he defines it at seven, right? Doesn't matter. We pick a number, we stick with it. Yes, just for you, Josh. Okay? And Kobe, who, it, like me, is happy with the world being a bit messy, will say, oh, give me a break. Five is what they chose. Give me a break. Judge it on context. And if it's hard for you to define life as messy, too bad. Very good, okay.
I said that five has to be specifically there for a reason.
No, yeah, no. Because that's what we decided on. It's fairly gross.
Yeah.
I think it's there. The reason five is there is because otherwise it's not what that looks like for
us. Okay.
It's an arbitrary decision that five is what.
Okay, so let's continue. So then he says, Al mocher shalo v'shel chavera. Why am I allowed to sell mine and my friends? Perish Rash, right? Perish Rav Shimshon, right? The Rash Mishan says, Aval im liket le'atzmo, v'chavera name liket le'atzmo. But if you picked for yourself, and your friend picked for himself, klomar, shlo hinichu kol ma shelektu biyachad. But they didn't gather it together. Ela ze liket v'agudo lefanav. V'ze liket v'agudo lefanav. But one picked and packaged it for himself, and the other for himself. Yavo zeviyim kor chelek chaviro. The nimtza zemocher v'zelokeh. The Rash is mechadesh that, right, even though, like Tosfot, there is a unique problem of you cutting and selling, right? The Rash is mechadesh that even in such a case, if Josh picked his stuff and I picked my stuff, and then I come and sell both, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? He says, "Va'agav igudo shel chaveru mocher agudo shelo behavla." Because remember, we saw havla and we said there's a machloket. Does havla make it mutter, or does havla just prevent there from being kedushat damim, right? And the second thing we said about havla, does havla mean that it's okay just because you're swallowing it together? Or is havla only mutter because you conceptualize it as that which I'm allowed to sell, I'm selling, that which I'm not, I'm taking as a gift, right? The Rash takes the more permissive of both reads, right? He thinks havla just is mutter when I swallow it up, and he thinks it's mutter, not just that it's not kadosh, right? The Ash Khan Gabi Peritriya Davla Sharia Peraglubagazov a Rashari Buddha Kamaslan Dhamam Zel Lokivizemokh the Shrin is in a hasar ulubam locate mochar biyachat shari. So the Rash really seems to agree. Right? Seems. It's not clear, right? I mean, he quotes, right, it's very hard, right? It could just be that he thinks Havla is just magic, right? That look, in the end of the day, once the sale is not wholly usher, then it's not usher.
But it's still you're related to
I know. I agree with you that it's messy. I agree that once you say it's about perspective, saying, now, of course, you could just say, no, once I swallow it up, so it changed the way I relate to it, because I'm relating to the whole thing as merchandise, and not just this. You could defend it, right? But I agree it's messy. Okay. Then why are brothers different? So now what does he say? Chamisha achim alachim echan mocher al yadehen. Achim she'enam shutafin. Right? If the brothers are not partners. So first of all, he says, it must be that these brothers are not partners. Just because you have a family business doesn't suddenly allow you to do business. If you're the Walton brothers family, right, you can't just say, well, we're siblings, right? The fact that we're billionaires from doing it, this is not a business. It's a friendly family get-together, right? That's not how things work, right?
What are they called, brothers?
A lot of things.
Okay. No, they're just another brother.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the Koch brothers.
K-O-C-H.
Koch brothers are very, very wealthy and very well known and very, very, very proactive in politics. They pay for a lot of things, right? Because they want to proactively educate people towards their ideology and legislate in ways that fit with their libertarian ideology. What?
Guess what?
No, actually, they're libertarian.
What?
No, they're libertarian.
That's what it is.
No, no. No, they would be offended if you called them conservative. They're libertarian. That's why... No, no, no. The Koch brothers, they do fund a lot of conservative things because a lot of conservative ideals line up with libertarians, but when it doesn't, right? Libertarians are traditionally... okay. I will give you a one-minute politics lesson here. Libertarianism, theoretically, political libertarianism, not be confused with philosophical libertarianism, are fiscally conservative and socially liberal because they believe in minimal government control, and therefore in the economy they are conservative because free market, meaning we'd rather the market deal with it and not government, but socially liberal, right? And therefore, what on economic issues, they tend to fund and support Republicans and conservatives. But when it comes to certain social issues, right, they're more, and unless I am very much mistaken, the Koch brothers are traditionally libertarian. I don't know. At some point, they funded a series of lectures in YU. In one of my classes, because the professor, conservative, but he's an economist. So, since he's a conservative economist, when it comes to the economy, right, the Koch brothers would fund lectures that the elite brought in. Yeah. That said, professor was my thesis advisor. Even though I didn't write on economics at all, I was writing on philosophy. But he was a joint chair. Economics and philosophy. Some people will vilify the Koch brothers, right? People on the left vilify the Koch brothers. People on the right, the way people on the right vilify George Soros, right? Okay. Whatever. Doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter at all. But yes, the point of this was that there are families who it's implausible, right? The point of the Ras Relio, it is, if the family is actually joint into a business relationship, then don't think there's a heter, right? If you are the Koch brothers, or you are the Waltons, right? Or you're the Sacklers, right?
If you keep throwing in more names, I don't know who's the Sacklers.
Oh my God. Okay, forget it. Forget you. No, they are the people who created OxyContin. The opioid crisis... They are the family that created oxytocin, which was the opioid that was... No. Half the states in America sued them. Half. Half or more. All the states. What? Oh, my God. I haven't lived in America in like a decade, people. Come on. Why do I know more about basic politics? It really was. This went on for years. You know, because of all the people who die at this. No, oh, for God's sake. Okay, let's continue. The point is, it doesn't matter. I'm not making any political stand here. I'm just saying that my only point here is that there are families who run business together, and those families, the Ras Relio very plausibly says, have all the problems of a partnership because. It's a business which happens to be run by family. That doesn't make it less of a business, right? That was my point, okay? Toch Kedeh, you have learned a little bit about politics. You've learned a little bit about economics.
About these dynasties.
Good.
Conspiracies.
Oh, they people, honestly. I do my best to give you basic education, you know? A little bit of politics, a little bit of economics, a little bit of history. Right? Okay, good. So the Ras Relio says, Achim she'enam shutafim batul limkor. Brothers who are not business partners can sell. Mai dasrinim bereshigavei shutfin, which we forbade by partners, to lo lemru al malekach nitkavnu, because the world is not going to say, same problem. Is it marat ayin? Is it perception actually defines context? I don't know. Right? El achim ninu. How are people going to look at this? Brothers, mishpacha, right? They'll say, why is the brother selling it? We need someone with five brothers. Who has five brothers? Yonatan. Yonatan, right? Yonatan has five. Yeah?
Wow.
What?
That's not that much.
I think Yonatan's five.
Really not
It's still alive.
Fine, okay, forget it. You don't want to use someone else? Fine, one of the kids in my family, okay? One of the Ziering children goes and sells. Fine, okay, I have five, okay? One of the Ziering, technically it's five and one, so you need six. It was hysterical last night. You can tell what a book is, or like, who its target audience is. So I was just, one of my kids was sick, so I was doing, you know, catching up. So I was doing his homework and classwork with him. And it was just this reading book, right? Like, words about Chirik, you know, Chirik, E, right?
Oh.
Ema, da-da-da. Wait, one second. Let me just make my point. And it was funny because at some point, right, you know, the way these books teach is they give you pictures of different fruit and different this, and then they say, put words together, right? They try to tackle it from even, so then they have a page about, write about the people in your family, because Ima has a, right? So Toch Kadei, it says, who are the people in your family? So it has parents, grandparents, and then it gives you, write about your siblings. Now, in America, if it was saying write about your siblings, how many slots would they put in for you to fill in?
Two.
So this gave, in addition to you, gave five slots with the option of me owed, right? And I'm like, only when you are targeting like a Dati Levi audience is the de facto family of six, you with five siblings, and then the possibility left open of me owed at the bottom of the page, just in case, right? Just in case you missed it. I was like, okay. What? Wait. Oh, okay, so Kobe, yeah, right, you're right. So Kobe, you could have used Kobe, right, okay. Right, you have five. So we have five, okay.
Five, four siblings. Five,
right, I understand, that's what is in my family also. So when there's a sixth, you know, but okay, more or less. So but it was really funny. I'm like, this is only, it tells you a lot about who it thinks is reading this. Right, well, it was like when Ora was pregnant with the twins, at some point her, this is very Israel, the technician who was doing the ultrasounds was saying, yeah, my brother is Chiloni. Like, she just gets a Bala Tshuva, and she was Haredi. She's like, yeah, my brother is Chiloni, so he wanted a small family, so he only has four kids. And I'm like, that is so Israel, right? In Israel, four kids, okay. Yes, it's, I know, I understand. It's a total of six. Like this book, that's what I'm saying, right? You and five. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's an average Dati Lumi family. That's what he's saying, right? The standard thing that they want you to believe in, that the standard they expect from your family, six. Yes, exactly. That's why the Gemara said five and you. Because it was, yeah, okay. So. What? Baruch Hashem. So so he says.
That's why.
What? And he just says, look, he says, if the family gets together, they don't look at it, though. The reason that you're selling behalf of your family is not because there was some business plan. It was because, you know, look, it's like if all my kids get together, you know, in 20 years, right, 25 years, right, let's say 25, okay, let's say 25 years, 30 years, I don't know, right, and they decide they're going to go on a family outing. So what do? They choose to go apple picking. You know, it's a nice thing to do. Their family, most apple orchards are big enough, even with five kids and all of their kids or whatever, right? So they're going apple picking together. And then in the end, they're like, you know, this was a fun day, but, you know, probably 25 kilo of apple is too much. You know, it's based, right? What? Yes, I know. It's like, right, exactly. No, bidiyuk, right? So then one of you says, you know what, let's just sell it off. Right? So everyone looks in that and doesn't say, oh, business deal. They say, oh, family, they say family apple picking, right? Family fruit picking outing, where, as Mordechai said, everybody understands this was not planned, right? It was, oh God, we have 25 kilo of apples, right? And then that's how I feel after the cherry picking festival, right? That's what's in the gush, right? They don't have so much apple picking, but yes, every summer, it's great.
Summer,
like June. No, right before, it's good. Sure.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Are there a good amount of cherry orchards
in Israel? But there are a lot in the Gush, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I went, when I was in yeshiva, I went. Like, Roy Tarragon had told us you should go, and even though I very rarely left yeshiva, it was walking distance from yeshiva. It was like a 15-minute walk, so I went. It was so much fun. It's like cherry picking, because it's like, it's a whole festival, right? There's cherry picking, and there's all these, like, homemade, like these...
Cherry things?
Well, but not just. It's also like... you know, they make a fair out of it. So it's like there are people there, like homemade winemakers and liqueur makers and chefs and like having you taste things and you know, homemade kippahs. Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you know what it is, okay?
Yeah.
What? It's usually a Friday morning. You'll come for Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the Rebbe.
So the Rosh Aurelio says, but this makes sense. He says, listen, it's about, again, now he's mixing in how other people are going to relate to it, and not just you. But the point is that, look, it's not about how many people there are. It's not about how much you're selling. It's about context. It's about whether you're relating to it as business. And if it's a family, so people look at it and they say, okay, it's a family. It's left over from your apple picking, your cherry picking, Masha, yeah, right? So then he says.
So according to Rosh Aurelio, even the original Gears of the Gemara was like 50, according to his Aria set. Even 50, let's say, like.
Oh, I don't know. He says 5, so I don't know. I don't know.
But even that would be okay.
Yeah, holy up. Yeah. Okay. So then he says, "V'katavarin Hashem Shonzal." The Rash says, "The Hadamrim Bergbeg Zeb Borer." Breishani Omrim Osvin Ksherim Socherim Psulim. And then he goes to the Gemara in the Bavli that said originally they said that people who gather Perushvi are kosher leidut and people who do business it are apostle. So he says, "What does that mean? Osvin. What does it mean to gather? Hainu hu liked uvno mocher al yado. When you gather but don't sell. Socherin shaloked ba'atma mocher. V'kol shekein akona mechaver bezol." So remember, we saw the Rosh Aurelio. The Rosh Aurelio thinks that, like the Rosh, that both picking to sell and buying to sell are both problematic, which again, we said makes sense because for him, it's not fundamentally that you need to link selling to harvesting. It's that you need to treat it as a commodity. And therefore, if you harvested for the sake of selling or you bought wholesale to sell retail, either one is problematic. Right, it calls you get a kol mechaver bezol kedeshim korbiyoker l'arviach the pasul eid the hakam bizar rachman alach vol schora. So that's definitely osur buying to sell. That is like the paradigmatic case. Okay, and then going on in the Gemara. So, and then he says the Gemara says v'ashal yasa plata or palter. So he says, what is that? Milashon platya. What's a platya? Okay, so a little bit of Erevin here, right? A little bit of Erevin. There are three types of Rishus Arabim, right? Three main types, maybe four, right? So in addition to the ones you know, which are roads, right? A sratya, or maybe a road being ear to ear, right? There are three, right? So the one you probably know about Rishus Arabim are roads, but there is another type of a Rishus Arabim that's called a platya. A platya is a plaza. That's right. So like Times Square, right? Even though it's not a road, no one passes through it, right? It is a big open square, and that is a Rishus Harabim Daraisa. Okay. And then it'll be stuck, and you'll call the fire department, and then you will be a stereotype. Okay. So he says, so a palter, therefore, guys. So a palter is therefore someone who sells in the public square, right? So he says, because of a Rosh ben Reb Shimon ben Semach Zal, who perushol b'sechar avot. So the Rashbats writes in his perush on avot, hasandlar she'ose sandalim, right? A sandlar is a person who makes sandals, right? So he goes to this whole grammatical point, right? So now he just says, so what's a palter? Skipping down a few lines, based on the Reb Ben Yakar, lokech bat lemochro b'platya. What's a palter? It's someone who buys to sell. I mean, just like a sandler is not just I happen to do it, it's I'm a sandal maker. A palter is? Right, I buy to sell or I bake to sell. Right, and therefore what does he say? Now, again, this makes a lot of sense because what's he saying? The problem is if it defines your profession. If I happen to sell, that's different than being a palter. Right, so his grammatical point seems to fit with his conceptual point. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else that I think that needs to be for him. Okay, skip all the way down to the last two lines, right? So then, remember, the end of the Gemara was Ubilvach lotehe umanatu bekach. Umanatu bekach, right? And we said, what is the Gemara telling you, right? Remember the Gemara, right? That either if you have no job the other 7 years and you only work during Shemitah, or you have a job the other 7 years, but during Shemitah you don't have another job. And we said, there's a machloket here whether the issue at hand is psul edut or, right, asr mutter, depending on whether the girsa is asr mutter or kasher pasul. So going down to the last two lines, you know, just turn to the next page. Let's just try to get the key here. So, yeah, look at the top of the page, the next page. He says, what's his girsa? Asik neviperek zeb borer dahachi perusha betchilo yomrim echad zev echad zeb psulin. Klomar echad osvin echad sochrim psulim le'idut. Right, they originally said that whether you gather, meaning you pick not with the intent to sell, or you pick to sell, it's asur, or sorry, you are pasul edut. Misherabu ha'anasin, once the government started forcing, umayinu arnona, meaning taxes went up, and it was life or death, you had to sell more to pay the non-Jewish government the taxes. Chazru lomar osvim ksherim sochrim psulim. They said that if you happen to gather it, you're allowed to sell, but you can't make it your job. Perish Osvin psulin, hainu hu locate hu mocher, the pasul midir abanan, visocher, hainu konam echever bizal, kede limkor biyoker lavech, the pasul midar raita, dechtev lachal alalas chorab. Decheva dechimud mamon me'aviro al divrei Torah, vekerasha dechamas apostle aid, shenot achare shabbatza. So first of all, what gersa does he think this is? Kasher pasul. And he says that, how does the Gemara work? If you made it your job, right? The Gemara is basically saying that, listen, not everything which is usur makes you pasul edut. What does make you pasul edut? Lamaskana? If you are driven by greed to make your profession that which is violating usur.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, right? That's the sugya. But according to him, does this hang on how he understood schora? Not really, right? Because he thinks that the girsa here is kasher pasul, because he's saying, listen, there were things that are, right, there are things which are asur, and nevertheless, you're still not pasul edut. And therefore, he says, the issue here is, right, about psul edut, and therefore, I think we can pause here and say, we don't have to read the rest of the Rosh Relio, for our purposes, because it's clear that the Rosh Relio has his model, but it doesn't explain, right, for him, the rest of the sugya. This is just not the point.
Wait,
okay? So that makes you pasul edut, correct? Would be usur, but still kosher.
Yeah.
So skip down all the way. Now let's just skip to the next page, right? What? Yeah. It's not even 12. What? It's not even that. So just look at the last Rosh Relio on the Mishnah, right? So now, how do you deal with the issue of government forcing, not government forcing, right? How does that play into the sugya at all? So this is the top of Nun Zayin and Aleph, okay? And with this, we can finish the Rosh Relio's analysis. Taman Eina Malchut Oneset Perish Reb Shimshon Zal Dikoy Amat Nisan. This goes in the Mishnah. Mefarish Demodu Rabbanan Reb Yehuda Gabet Sayed V'Taim Adal Malchut Oneset. So what does he tell you? So his first possibility is the Rosh. The Rosh says the difference of the government forcing you and not is not relevant. In what case? Shvi'it. This is a detail in selling non-kosher food, which is that just like you're allowed to sell the non-kosher catfish that happened to be caught in your net, you're allowed to sell lechatchila, non-kosher food, if the government is forcing you to pay and that's the only way you can make ends meet. Right? This has nothing to do with Shemitah. The Rosh just says this is a halacha in, right, certain extenuating circumstances. The Gemara just comes along, by the way, says if you have no choice. So again, are you treating as a commodity? No, I'm just, you know, I don't have a choice.
Oh, is it because you're not even treating as a commodity?
Right, but we're not. Right, and he says
something that's treated as like you're being forced to, but you wouldn't have treated as a commodity otherwise.
Right, and he says, now again, he says, I still can't pursue it, Right now, according to the Rash, right, this is, I oversimplified it. The Rash says as follows. The Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, guys, quickly, because the man wants to start, right? The Mishnah had said what? That Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham have an argument whether the heter of selling the things that happen to fall into your net is mutter for everybody, or only mutter for people who it's their job, and therefore, look, they're already going fishing, right? And they really need the money, right? In that context, he says a private fisherman is allowed to sell the fish that happens to catch if he's under this pressure, right? But everyone will agree that you can't be a catfish fisherman, right? You can't do that, right? Everyone will agree to that. That's how the Rosh takes this, right? As an exception that the Chachamim, who normally say that a private guy who's just going for fun, for fishing, he can't sell the catfish because he doesn't really need it. If he does need it because the government is pressing him, he can't. He can't make it his job to just fish for catfish, but if he's fishing for salmon and he happens to buy catfish and he needs the money, so it's fine. So according to this, it has nothing to do with Shviat, right? That's the first day. But the second one, if you look at the very end, he says, he argues in the Rashi, he says, no, this is about Sochari Shviat. This is about Shviat. Namely, it's a very localized point, and that is, that remember we said things can be usher but not necessarily invalidate you to Eidut?
Yeah.
So he says, listen, the Gemara said that once the government is pressuring people, remember, right, like Kobe said, what's the main insight here? That not every sin makes you puzzle Eidut. What sins make you puzzle Eidut? Ones that show that you're greedy and can be swayed by money, right? But he says, but if someone, he may not be allowed to do it, but if he does it because he's under extreme pressure, so usher or mutter, that's not the point. The point is we don't look at you and say you're a dishonest person. You might be weak, right? But you're not the type of person who's possible to Eidut. And therefore, according to the Rosh Terilio, even though he ends up thinking that the distinction between the government forcing and not forcing is about Sochrei Shviat, it's still not relevant to his basic conception. And the Rosh Terilio, now we have finished, right? The Rosh Terilio consistently, as we've seen, right, holds the line. And just to review, he thinks consistently that that's the problem with Sochrei Shviat is how you relate to it, is treating it as a commodity. That's how he understands everything. And how does he solve the seeming contradiction in the Gemara that says it's Isser Hana'ah? He says, no, Hana'ah means Harvacha, right? He's very consistent. He says, that's why there's a difference between a family and not a family. Right? The only thing that we were left with that was unclear in the Rosh Terilio is how much he thinks that Nirin, right? It seems like business, is a problem of Marat Ayin, or is a problem of the context actually makes it business-like. Right, that we weren't clear in the Rosh Terilio, or at least I'm not 100% clear, but what is clear is the Rosh Terilio consistently, right, he's very clear about what he thinks the problem of Shviat is, okay? And this is, as we said, in many ways parallel to Rambam, though he very much integrates Rosh and a little bit of Tosfot as well. Okay, so tomorrow, what we should do is, we can either do what we just did for the last 2 days with the Rosh Terilio and try to polish off the Pnei Rosh Hashanah fold up, whether we do that or not, what I want you to do is make sure that really what we should do is the main section, which is the comparison to other Isurim, plus the difference between a partnership, a father, son, and brothers, right? That's really the crux of the issue. We need to fit in that model for everybody, for the Gra, right? For the Rambam, who we seem to have done, for Tosfot. So we will do some combination of understanding the Sugya according to Pnei Moshe Rosh Terilio and Gra, and addressing the key sugyot, right, according to everybody. And as I said, if you're having trouble plugging in the Gra, I gave you a chazanish, and if you really want someone who tried to plug in everyone, then you can challenge yourself and try to read that Ziv Hayam, but I don't expect you to read it. Okay.